right, welcome to another All About Nothing podcast. It is Wednesday, October the 4th, 2017. Show is recorded in front of no studio audience. Honestly, it makes it easier. If I was on a television show or had an audience, I think it would make it a lot more difficult to do this. Just a feeling. But thank you very much for joining me. As always, follow me on Twitter at Barrett Gruber. I didn't actually think that I was going to do a show this week, and it's not for any reasons like couldn't or there wasn't time or available space, whatever. I'm torn. A lot of it is because of this past Sunday. By now, I would imagine that everyone knows that October 2nd, waking up to the news of yet another mass shooting here in the United States. It's extremely disappointing. By now, the count is at 59. But 59 individuals, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children. 59 innocent lives were taken on October 1st in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's really hard to wrap my head around why we keep having to have the same discussion. I'm extremely disappointed in what seems to be how people handle this news, either from the left or from the right. And you know, I will not profess to have all the answers, because I probably have none of them. And I've stated this before, I am absolutely in favor of the Second Amendment, and I believe in your right to protect yourself, whether that is through the use of a firearm that you have purchased legally or hand-me-down, you know, whatever. I do believe that the Second Amendment is a right of all of our citizens here in the United States, and if you come to live here, then you are subject, you're subject to, as long as you're not a convict or a felon, you know, you are subject to that same right, the Second Amendment being the right to bear arms. And I've discussed this, that my opinion of the Second Amendment is one that it is, while it is a valid bill or a valid amendment to the Bill of Rights, I believe that it is outdated, and I believe that there is a need to reassess how, I guess, we are to protect ourselves with this right to bear arms. I think that it is unnecessary to have weapons. Well, first of all, so the idea behind the Second Amendment was that the citizens of this country would be able to protect themselves from a tyrannical government. And I recognize that that there right now we seem to be under the regime of a tyrannical government. And you may disagree. That's perfectly fine. But I certainly feel that we as insane as some of us feel like Kim Jong-un is in North Korea. I feel like we have to recognize that there are some crazy things that seem to go on with our leader here. North Korea's leader is crazy. All right. I will completely agree. He is absolutely insane. There is a lunacy there that is just remarkable. But I have to also recognize that our president now is of the sort of same mindset. He's just, you know, 50 years, 40 years older than the leader in North Korea. And when I say that he is just as crazy, I feel certain that the evidence is there and available. If you read his tweets, there is nothing but unhinged. You know, it's one personality or it's the other, or it's one crazy thought or another. And it's so unnerving. Okay. So I got off topic, but when the issue we have with guns in this country and under the Second Amendment, I feel like it's outdated, and it's time that maybe it was revisited and recognized that when the Second Amendment was written, the idea of protecting yourself from a tyrannical government didn't involve guns and rifles that could fire rounds in 3-round bursts and 5-round bursts, that you could fire off a magazine that had 100 or 150 rounds in it and just constantly just hold the trigger down and it just keeps firing. Okay. That was not the idea when the Second Amendment was written. It was a musket. You had a musket that took like 25 seconds to load. And I recognize that I've talked about this before, but I feel very strongly that the Second Amendment is aged, whatever. And it's probably time that this was revisited and that we went over and decided how we were going to approach this right of owning firearms. Okay. I have several guns and I have a concealed weapons permit. And before I go on, okay, I read Facebook and I read some of this idiocracy that I see when I see some of my, and I don't want to call them friends because they're not friends. They are acquaintances at best. But I read things like, if I had been there with my concealed carry gun, that I could have protected people, and I would have looked up to that 32nd floor and I would have shot, and I would have at least, you know, gotten him away from the window so more people could get in protection. I am not the smartest person in the world, but I certainly understand the idea behind physics, and your 380, I don't believe is going to get a bullet 400 yards away and at an upward slant, and you're trying to climb 340, 350 feet up in the air, 400 yards, your bullet's never going to make it. He's not even going to hear it coming. All he'll see is a flash from the muzzle of your gun, and then he's got another target. So it is outstanding to me, the stupid that just comes out of people when things like this come up, and this delusion of grandeur that people seem to have when it comes to their ability to protect others because they have a firearm. I saw Sean Hannity talking about, you know, that in the situation where, you know, if this shooter had been on the ground and he had been on the ground and the shooter had, you know, run out of rounds in his magazine and he had to change magazines, that would have been Sean Hannity's opportunity to fire back at the shooter. Here's the thing. That scenario never happened. First of all, Sean Hannity wouldn't be anywhere near a crowd of people because for all accounts that I've read, this dude hates being around people. Secondly, what country music festival is he going to be at? Secondly, I mean, honestly, when would Sean Hannity lower himself to hang out with a bunch of other people in a crowd? It's just not going to happen. Okay. Thirdly, that scenario didn't happen. The shooter was from a raised position, 400 yards away. He busted out windows, and for a good 4 or 5 minutes that it was occurring, they didn't even know where the shots were coming from. Above, they just knew they were coming from above them. They believed they were coming from the hotel adjacent to the festival. So, you know, I get so irritated when people take the reality of the situation and then build scenarios around it where they're all of a sudden a hero because they carry a firearm. You know, I have people that I work with that I know absolutely in their minds believe that if they had been there, that it would not have played out that way, because they believe that they are the greatest shot to ever live. And I even said this on my Facebook. I said that there is no one that I know, or even the mass culmination and of all of the people that I know that have some sort of firearm ability or skill, if you were to take all of those skills combined, the scenario in Las Vegas would have played out exactly the way it did. And it frustrates me beyond belief to think or to read some of these people's comments where they believe they are so great that they would have saved these lives. I heard a comment during an interview where someone was describing gun control and the idea that in this scenario, it does not appear that this particular shooter, Stephen Paddock, it doesn't seem as though he had any sort of outstanding criminal background. There was nothing really to indicate so far. There was nothing really to indicate that he himself had this desire or this necessity or this whatever it is that made him go and do what he did. There's nothing in his past to indicate that this was coming. So he is an outlier. Okay. He does not fall. There's almost no way to build a profile around this individual until we get more information. I know that there is now communication. They have picked up his girlfriend who just got back in from the Philippines. She apparently, he sent her away last week. He transferred a lot of money to her. And I don't know what information has come out of that as far as what's been released. I've not seen anything yet. So, you know, I have seen some comments say that, you know, they look like the cutest couple. Stephen Paddock was a bigger guy, and then his girlfriend was considerably smaller, shorter woman. But they were very cute and adorable. I've seen the word adorable used to describe the two of them. But then I've heard I've read other comments where they would go get coffee at Starbucks and he would belittle her, or he would yell at her, or he would tell her how he supports her and how he does, you know, he spends so much money on her and things like that. So, you know, if those are true, then there does seem to be at least some sort of pattern maybe that might be coming forward as far as how he was treating her. But, you know, if this was something that was planned out, if this was something that he put together, you know, there's got to be a reason. And I was telling people at work, or, you know, friends at work, I said, usually when something like this happens, the shooter, the individual that is causing the crime, almost always has a manifesto. There's almost always something written out to describe why it's happening. I don't think that they found that so far. I do know that in the hotel room, they did find something like 17 guns, 17 rifles. These rifles had been altered and manipulated to allow for a higher rate of fire. I do know that they said that they found many, many guns, explosives, that sort of thing, and at his home. And apparently these have been purchased over several months. So the question is, I know that in the United States that we do not have any sort of database that is kept of gun ownership. We do not have a database of firearm purchases. That these are things that the NRA has opposed, because if there is, and this is the thought process, which is completely paranoid, but this is the thought process behind the NRA. The NRA is an organization that is primarily there just to be a membership draw for people that are basically wanting to protect their right to own a gun. I would say that statistically, probably most of them are law-abiding citizens, and that they recognize that this individual suffered from something. But the NRA as an organization, not necessarily the members, but the NRA as an organization definitely has a paranoid fear, and I'm not sure that they actually believe it. I'm guessing it's more of a money-making scheme. But the NRA is basically a lobbying group at this point. It's no longer just a club for people that like to hunt. It's not. I mean, and if you say that it is, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. You are absolutely an idiot. The NRA is a membership group that takes your money and then lobbies with it. And they lobby with it so that they can bolster gun sales. I mean, and this isn't me talking about it like I'm paranoid. It is a pyramid scheme that hundreds of thousands of people are buying into, and what you have basically is the NRA takes your money as a member, and then they invest that money into a lobbying group that basically is protecting not necessarily your right to own and bear arms. They are protecting the manufacturer's right to produce whatever firearms they want to. And if you're listening to this and it's pissing you off that I'm saying it, I'm not sorry. I mean, you need to look it up yourself. If you're paying into the NRA, your money is going to lobbying. Okay. I know where their budget goes. You can look it up. It's going to lobbying, and that lobbying is only there to protect the gun manufacturers so that they can continue to make guns so that you will buy them. And all they will do is spit out misinformation saying that the government is coming for your guns. The government is going to take away your right to own guns. The government is going to take away your right to protect yourself. That is insane. Okay. So here's one of the reasons that I hear that gun control is just not possible in the United States is that it's just not feasible. You can't take away my right to own a gun because someone else will be able to find that. Someone else will be able to find a gun and then they will shoot me. Okay. That is just crazy. What world of fear are people living in that they can't recognize? So here's the idea. So if you can't take away all guns, then there should be no gun laws. Is that what I'm supposed to understand? Because if that's the case, then that rule should play out with everything. If you can't take away all drugs, then no drugs should be illegal. Is that how we're supposed to approach everything now? Is that because it's too hard to do, you just shouldn't do it? It doesn't make sense. We live in the United States of America. We can literally do anything we want to do. We have the ability to go to space. We have the ability to fly drones that attack our enemies without us even being involved now. We basically turned war into a computer game played by nerds in Kansas, okay? This country has the ability to do almost anything we want to do, okay? Gun control laws can be written to still protect our rights, but also keep guns legally purchased out of the hands of people who don't need to own guns. It's insane to me to think that people don't want to have even some sort of a waiting period on the purchase of guns. Okay. And I know I've discussed this before and I've talked about it with friends, but it is a fact that almost all of the mass shootings, except for this one, that almost all of the mass shootings that involve someone who purchased a gun legally, the mass shooting occurred within 24 hours of the gun being purchased legally. Okay. So these legally purchased guns, had that individual had to wait 5, 7, or 10 days, it's not even a question. If that could have happened, if that waiting period had been in place and those guns were not purchased and then used the next day, those people may still be alive. I'm not saying that it absolutely would have saved everyone, but there is a good possibility that those particular individuals that were killed in a mass shooting, they might still be alive because the person that bought the guns couldn't commit the crime on that day, so they had to wait. And if you give people 5, 7, 10 days to cool down, You don't have situations that someone's killed in a crime of passion, you know, or you know, I'm not saying that everyone will be saved, but there is the possibility that someone might. And if it's your children or your family or people you work with or people you know or people in your neighborhood, that there has to be some sort of effort. And I get so tired of hearing the same thing of people saying, well, now is not the time to discuss politics about a situation like this. I absolutely believe that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. If the only way to solve this problem is through politics and to have a discussion, whether it's one side or the other, then we do it now. I mean, if an earthquake hits and it hits somewhere like New York City that perhaps isn't ready for an earthquake, or Washington, D.C. that isn't built to withstand earthquakes that are probably going to eventually hit, if the scenario occurs, I can guarantee you that with the next day or within hours of it happening, the conversation is going to be out, how can we prevent this much damage from happening if this happens again? How can we prevent this from happening again? And with guns, it's just like there is this period of time that, whether you're a conservative or what, you have, there's this idea that you need time to come to grips with what's happened. The problem is you all coming grips to what's happened, there's no reality. There's no sense of, well, we're going to take some time and think about it and try and figure it out. But that's where it dies. It doesn't go anywhere else from there. It's just, it's a conversation stop. And that's because they don't want to deal with it. And I'll tell you exactly why it is. It's because the NRA is putting so much money in their pockets that they're paying them to keep silent. They're paying them not to do anything about it. Because do you know what happened after the mass shooting on Sunday night, Monday morning? The stock on several gun manufacturers shot up almost 6% overnight. So gun manufacturers in the United States gained stock. Their value went up. And their value didn't go up because people were immediately running out and purchasing guns, but the thought that that was necessary now to protect yourself from someone, because the media puts it in your head, I'm not saying all the media, some of the media puts it in your head that the only way to protect yourself from a shooter is with a gun. And that is the most insane thing. First of all, I'm going to tell you, if you hear a round fire and it doesn't hit you, it probably wasn't intended for you. Okay? You were not the intended target. If it does hit you, then what's the point in you having a gun anyway? You can't protect yourself from getting shot in the head if you've already been shot in the head. And I get it. This is almost the reason I didn't even want to talk about this tonight. But I feel like if I don't say these things, if I don't talk about it, then it's going to pent up and I'm going to hear something stupid at work and I'm going to have to respond. So I talk about it here to prevent me from getting fired from work because I might say something in disagreement to one of my conservative brethren that believes that everything that they think is right and everything that they do is right. So I'm sorry. Look, there needs to be an educated discussion about gun control. There needs to be, and here's the thing. I understand that for some people, they're going to view it as giving up their rights. Okay? I get that. But you have to look at throughout the course of history. At any point in time, when a situation has occurred that has required us to perhaps give up something of ourselves for the greater good, we've done it. Okay? The United States was attacked by Muslims in 2001 on 9/11, okay? One of the things that came out of that was our government's ability to gather data and intelligence. And one of the things that came out of that we gave up was through the Patriot Act, okay? So corporations like your cell phone carriers had to give up metadata information by law, because the Patriot Act required it. And in the end, I don't know the number of attacks that have been thwarted, but I don't have anything to hide. And I don't feel like most of the people that I know have anything to hide. So in the end, giving up that privacy seems like it probably affected positively the greater good. I absolutely am willing to give up a little bit of my right to own a firearm that can fire 50 bullets in a second. I don't need that. And you can't claim that you're hunting with a gun like that, because if you are, Bambi's got no meat on her left. Him, whatever. Bambi's got no meat left because you just fired off 50 rounds into his shoulders. Okay? There's nothing left. So explain to me what it is that you need a firearm that can do so much destruction. It's obviously it's not about protection, because I don't see you on the front lines anywhere. I don't believe that it's for hunting, because if you are firing off 50 rounds at a deer, you're a terrible shot, and you probably just need to rely on Kroger for your meat, to be completely honest with you. Thirdly, if you are of such delusion that you believe that the only way to protect yourself is with a gun that can do mass damage, I think you need to get yourself checked into Three Rivers, because all of these things, you're looking at the world completely wrong. I feel like you have given up, and you have succumbed to the pressures, or the peer pressure, or the the marketing strategy that was intended specifically for you, because you are so weak-minded. The reality is, yes, this world is dangerous. But if you allow yourself to succumb to the fear of the danger of this world, you've lost. And if that's the only way for you to go through your life, is thinking you have to protect yourself nonstop by having a gun on your body all of the time, Personally, I don't think we need you anymore. You're not any fun. You are so paranoid that it's time that you just left. Okay? I imagine that there is some country out there that would be happy to take you. Perhaps, you know, as a soldier in Africa somewhere. So, you know, go live somewhere where it is actually like that, where you literally have to carry a gun on yourself just to protect yourself. Go live somewhere like that, because it's not here. A gun is not going to protect you from what happened in Las Vegas. A gun is not going to protect your children from what happened in Newtown. Okay? A gun is not going to protect you from what happened in the movie theater. It's not going to protect you what happened at Columbine. It's not going to protect you what happened in Florida, in Orlando. It's not going to protect you what happened in San Bernardino. Okay? What might possibly protect you is legislation that could possibly prevent these guns being bought legally from being in the hands of people that have no criminal background. Let's just be honest. If there was a database that was being kept of people purchasing firearms, Stephen Paddock would have been on a list. He bought more than 40 guns over the course of 2 years. 40 guns, 40 rifles. I feel certain he would have made a list and somebody would have checked him out. This would have been prevented. I feel as though that scenario is about the only way to have prevented this from happening. And the fact that some people can't see that they are so blinded by their paranoia, and they're so blinded by their fear, and they're so blinded by the fact that they think that they're better humans than everyone else, that they can't see that they can't see that something like this could have been prevented through simply having a list and it flagging. For the life of me, I do not understand why we can't all see that. Because something like this is going to happen again. God forbid, but it's going to happen. And next time it might be 60. And it might be someone you know. Or it might be me. And for the life of me, I can't understand why anyone would be willing to do nothing to prevent something like this from happening again. It's crazy. That is to me, is just simply crazy. If you feel like something needs to be done, contact your congressman, contact your senators. Fuck, write the president. anyone that has any ability to push legislation, to do something, because something has to be done. We can't keep allowing this to happen. And we say this every single time it happens, but nothing is changing. Nothing can change when you have people that are just so roadblocked and so just. I like I said, I don't have all the answers. I probably don't have any of the answers. These opinions are mine, and I absolutely believe that life is more cherished than my need to own a gun. I don't need to own a gun. I don't need to own a gun. If somebody comes into my house and is trying to rob me, their intention is not to kill. Their intention is to steal my property. And if they come in with a gun, they are welcome to a TV or a computer or a laptop or, you know, a cell phone, whatever, you know. Those are material things. Life is more important. But a gun is just a material thing. It's not even a tool. It is incapable of helping you protect yourself from someone whose intent is to kill you. I cannot understand how people can't grasp this idea. You cannot protect yourself from someone who is intending on killing you with a gun. You can't. I don't care what you believe. I don't care if you think you're Rambo. I'm being completely honest with you. Most of the people that I know that own firearms, that think that they can protect themselves or their family from someone that is intent on killing them, are suffering from extreme stupidity. But I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't believe there's anyone out there with the intent of killing you as an individual. Even Stephen Paddock, I don't think his intention was to kill particular people. I think he was just firing into a crowd. I would like to know what his thoughts were. I would like to know what it was about that festival or that city or this country or whatever it was. I'd like to know what it is that caused him to become so unbalanced that he decided he was going to take so many lives. I don't have the answers. I wish that I did. But I do believe that if we can prevent these types of firearms from being sold or manufactured or imported, I do believe there is the possibility that as these come off the streets, that those don't come into the country, that those are not manufactured. I do believe there is the possibility that the number of these types of weapons coming off the streets being available, I do believe that you can prevent the possibility of, here's the thing, if it saves one life, then it did work. It did the job. It did what it was intended to do. And I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but there has to be, we have to acknowledge that we can give up something to protect others. Giving up our right to own these ridiculous firearms. Again, you're not going to protect yourself from having the same type of rifle as he did if he's already shooting. It's just not going to happen. Anyway, that is all I'm going to say about it, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. So thank you for listening, and I apologize if I have upset you. You know, tell me, please. I would like to hear from people and have an honest discussion about this, because that is the only way that we're going to move forward about situations like this. You can say that you don't want to be you don't want it to be politicized. You can say that it's too soon to talk about it, but it's not. That's my opinion. It is not too soon to talk about it. Now is the time, while it's fresh on our minds of something so tragic, now is the time that we try to make a change. And I'm going to be completely honest, I don't believe it's going to happen. I believe this is going to go the same way as Newtown and Columbine and all of these other mass events of death that we're not going to change. because we are paranoid and proud and incapable. And that's depressing. So, thank you very much for listening. As always, please follow me on Twitter at Barrett Gruber. And we will do another podcast here soon. Thank you for listening. Again, we'll check out next time. Thank you. Baby, baby.